Welcome to Supervision Simplified, the podcast that's here to rock your supervisory world. Our mission is simple yet powerful: to educate and elevate counselors, social workers, and psychologists, empowering them to serve their communities at the highest level of fidelity and service. I'm Dr. Amy Parks. I'm a child and teen psychologist, a group practice owner, and a supervisor in Virginia.
And I'm Valerie Harris, a trauma and attachment specialist, group practice owner, and a supervisor in Tennessee. Let's make it simple and dive right in.
Hello, and welcome to Supervision Simplified. I'm Dr. Amy Parks.
And I'm Valerie Harris.
We're so excited to have you here today. We spent a couple minutes before this recording matching lipstick and clearly worrying that we weren't camera ready.
We're just trying to figure this all out because every time I watch myself, there's a changing look and I'm like, I don't know if I like that. Or, oh, I had some really heavy eye makeup on there. I don't even know if I could see my eyes. Did I even look like I had lips? Like, what's happening? Can you see? So I've spent the first 10 minutes doing this a lot because I'm like, can you see that I do have hair? Because I can see I have hair.
We're working on this visual thing. We've got the audio part down, but the visual video part, like I look like I have a fake background, but this is actually my real office. So we're working on this. We're getting it a little bit better. We think by episode 10, we'll be experts. So we're getting there. We're getting close. We have a couple more episodes, Valerie, left to get to be expert status. Okay, let's before expert, what is advanced?
Well, there's
we're
novice,
not for beginners.
Yeah.
The novice.
And then there's intermediate.
Intermediate. Okay, we're at intermediate level. So we'll be advanced.
I thought yeah. To be fun and fair, though, I really put this whole background together knowing there would be a podcast and thinking this is epic and perfect. And there were so many things I did not consider. For instance, like the idea that I would not have a camera crew sitting across from me, perfectly balancing the frame, and never even thought of that. So I'm constantly just my laptop right now as the intermediate that I am. It's sitting on books.
Right. Mine is elevated on a thing. But as we talked about last week, I'm sort of rearranging my space. So it's a work in progress, but we will be advancing. I would consider us intermediate now.
Yeah.
I think we'll be advancing advanced level. We'll be moving to advanced level around episode 10. And then our goal would be maybe five more with guests, et cetera. And then I think we could be an expert. So that will be a very exciting transition. I'm looking forward to it.
We should celebrate and have a whole episode on being in our expert era.
Well, and also how it feels to be somewhat of an imposter and feeling like you have imposter syndrome. And that's sort of, it doesn't speak to our topic today, but it certainly resonates with supervisors. There's so many supervisors I meet who are like, I have no business being a supervisor because I have only been in this field for 15 years. And I think, oh my gosh, that is so much time and that's so much wisdom and you have so much to share. And frankly, 2 or 3 years with a little bit of additional training, I think as well in leadership and in the supervision art is really helpful, but can prepare you to be a supervisor. So this imposter syndrome thing sort of works all over in various ways.
Yes, it's humbling for you.
So today, Valerie, I wanted to talk with you and share with our audience and get their feedback on this idea of what it means as a supervisor to be in the know. And what I mean by that is, I was recently talking to some colleagues and I was sharing some information about a book that has come out. It's the Abigail Schreier book, Bad Therapy, Why Kids Aren't Growing Up. And I have a lot to say about that particular book, as do many people. Mm-hmm. And this particular group of colleagues, a number of them were familiar with the book. Some of them had no idea about the book. And so I shared information about the book, but I was somewhat surprised that people had not heard of it because it has been all over the news. It has been all over social, at least my social. And maybe that's because I work with mostly families and kids, but still, I feel like it's been particularly in the news quite a bit. And it has the word bad therapy in it. So you'd think if you were a therapist, you would notice a book that has come out that has the words bad therapy. And you'd think, maybe I should read that.
I mean, I own one that says bad therapy, and it's about, and it's an excellent book, and it's about masters, you know, like therapists who've been around forever and a day, including like Sue Johnson, sharing some of their, you know, worst moments in therapy. And it's brilliant and beautiful. So, but you're absolutely correct to your point. The reason that I was so drawn to the book initially is I was like, what do you mean bad therapy? Like, I don't want to do bad therapy. Is this going to teach me how not, you know what I mean? Like,
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the book that you're referencing, and we'll put at least the ones that we recommend in the show notes, the one that has Sue Johnson and a number of other of our colleagues in it. We will definitely reference that, as well as the podcast Bad Therapy, which is also excellent and funny and great. Yeah. And let's do a collab with them, because that would be super fun. Right. So yes, I get it. Like, that's what I was expecting too. And then when I looked at what this was about, I was just stunned. It was very different from what I was expecting. And I don't want to give it a whole lot of airtime, because I don't appreciate that this book is out there. Although I appreciate that it's allowing us to have a conversation about the point I'm trying to make, which is when we are leaders in the field as supervisors, and we are leading and guiding the future generations of clinicians, I believe, and so to finish my story really is, you know, what happened was I was talking to these colleagues, some people didn't know about this book, and someone said, I really work hard as a supervisor to pay attention to what's happening and stay in the know. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, absolutely critical as a supervisor. Why is that? And that's really what I want to have that conversation with you about today. I mean, I know why. I think you know why. Our audience needs to know why. And then I wanted to talk to you kind of a little bit about, like, how do you do that? What are your strategies for doing that? So, like, what do you think? I mean, I'll share my opinion too, but what do you think, Valerie? Like, where do you see the nexus of, like, paying attention? And I know you pay a lot of attention to, like, Vanderpump Rules and all kinds of, like, reality TV. Where's the nexus between, like, real news and, like, goofy stuff? And, you know, like, how do you find that plays into your supervision work?
So it's really, I feel that I'm sort of an oddball in that sense, because I have often experienced that I feel like people in our field are very polarized in one direction or the other. And that's kind of sad to me in a lot of ways, just because I feel like that looks that in a it oftentimes mirrors this and makes this parallel process to what's happening in our world already and with our clients, which I feel can be very dangerous on the whole.
Can you talk a little bit more about that before you go on? Talk a little bit more about that parallel process thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's not that we cannot have our own beliefs and opinions and morals and values, but as I understand it, those things were never intended to be things that would prevent us from treating someone with inherent worth and dignity, and that the onus was always on us to check those parts of ourselves and deal with those parts of ourselves in order to show up for our clients. And so why this is kind of confusing for me is because I work in an area, and my practice is in an area where we have a really large military base, 101st Airborne, and it's also the city that's the third most diverse city in the state of Tennessee. And so there are a lot of issues facing what would be both sides of a political party, so to speak. And so we can have, I mean, our clients are just that diverse that you almost have to be able to straddle both sides and really hold space there, or else you wouldn't be able to treat half of our client population. And so for me, what it looks like to stay in the know is I just seek news on both sides at all times. I want to listen to what's being said here. I want to listen. I'm always someone that's thinking the truth is somewhere in the middle. We don't always have all the context. I want to listen to understand. I want to listen with curiosity to see what I'm missing. I feel like all unaddressed trauma creates excess drama, and it comes out in reality TV. It comes out in politics. It comes out in every space of our world. And if we are not even approaching these things with some level of curiosity, then we'll never get closer to bridging some of those divides, I feel. And so as you're talking about this book, one of the things that I also think would be good to talk about, or just in line with this, is what does advocacy look like on our part? You know, because there's a lot of ways you could do that. You could go on somebody's Facebook group and just blow them up, or you could, you know, boycott buying something, for instance. Or there's someone like a Candace Owens, who I've listened to many times and don't agree with a lot of what she says, and really feel a certain way about how she refers to therapy, and boxing therapists into this one place as if all we do is this one thing. And it's sad to me because she has such a platform and following and such an opportunity. And I honestly believe if someone were sitting there with a bleeding wound, she would tell them to go get help. So I don't think she's even against it, but I don't think she realizes with the things she says how absolutely harmful it is to the profession and how it just creates more stigma. And so I often sit and wonder, how do I bridge that? Like, how do I educate around that? How do I have a conversation about that? Because she's feeling that way. It's come from a certain place. I'm thinking this woman in her book, it comes from a certain place. But if I don't understand the why behind it, and I just, you know, kick them away from the table, then I just think it makes them double down on the position, which doesn't do anything for the profession either.
And yeah, that's a really good point. I do agree with you 100% that it's really important for us. And thank you for bringing that up, because it reminds me that I do have to not be so in my feelings about this person's opinions, which are different from mine. And I do respect the fact that everyone comes from their own places.
But it is hard. It's a very hard balance.
Can I look at it as a leader and influencer in the profession as an opportunity to say, maybe and? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to say yes and or no and. Let's just say maybe and. You know, maybe you have a point. Maybe you are right. Maybe some of your research is valuable. Maybe what you have to share is critical for us to be aware of. And how about this perspective? And so, yeah. So how then do we broach that? How are we the bridge between sort of like bias and being in the know? So let's like stick with that. But like, how do we bridge that being in the know kind of thing and that like potential for bias and with our client, like with our supervisees? Like, how do we bridge that for them?
I mean, that's just kind of my thoughts. And I know also that I have an easier time doing that than a lot of other people. And it's not something that I'm like, I didn't have to work at. It's just something I've just been gifted to be able to do. And it's the P on my ENFP. It's the P all day long.
That's because I'm an ENFJ. So I'm like, I'm not really going to make space to hear.
Right. And I'm the P, and I'm over here like, looking at my husband going, who is an ISTJ. And I'm like, why are you cutting this guy off? He's like, people need to learn to drive. I'm like, for all you know, he just got a call and his wife is dying in the hospital. And he's like, no, people are just stupid. And I'm like, but you don't know that. Like, you really don't know that. And you would feel horrible if you knew that there was something else. So that's just how my brain works.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that to say every therapist needs to be that way. I'm saying it to say, if you're a P, it's going to be a lot easier for you. If you're not, it is really difficult. There are still certain things that are really difficult for me to do that in, just not as many things as it is for others.
And note to self, if you're a supervisor and you're working with supervision seekers or supervisees, make sure that you are considering some kind of, we've talked about assessment, we'll be talking about it some more, but make sure you're considering what kind of personality they have in mm-hmm. relationship and in contrast to you. That can be really helpful. And we'll talk about that in next episode, in a future episode, but that can be really helpful in trying to figure out how to navigate some of these, this bridging that needs to happen between like current events and talking to supervisees. Another current event that I found some individuals who are certainly people I highly respect in the field and I think that are excellent supervisors, yet I found curiously unaware of was the death of Nex Benedict. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how in the world do you live under a rock? Like, how could you be so disconnected? And sometimes I think, okay, well, I live right outside of Washington, D.C. We are forced to sort of be, we're force-fed news constantly. So it could be my location. If I lived in Iowa, for example, no offense to Iowans, but, well, Iowa maybe is not a good example since it's so politically part of our landscape, but I don't know, lived in another state, would I be less, you know, maybe aware, but I don't know. I think it's just another curiosity where I feel like, you know, there's so much happening around the death of Nex Benedict. And then today, we're in mid-March and when we're recording this, it was just revealed that Nex Benedict died by suicide and that was not expected. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of had this whole narrative of like bullying and still the bullying is still a part of it. But I always had this whole expectation that he had gotten beat up and he had died of a TBI and, you know, like things like that. And it could still be a whole combination of things. But regardless, sure. The supervision point of this, what I'm saying is that when you have these current events, it is a ripe opportunity and so critical in terms of being timely to say, look at this, what you're seeing about this topic and how is it impacting your clients? Like when you have clients that are coming in, they may or may not know about this too. If you don't know about it and then your supervisor doesn't know about it, this is part of our zeitgeist. Like this is part of our social, cultural, you know, like framework
Can I be honest though? Because I think I've seen some things that make me understand, or at least I think I have an idea of why people are not in the know. And I'm wondering if it could be sort of a consideration that people give themselves and consider before becoming supervisors is, you know, one of the things that I know about a lot of even newer clinicians, even some more experienced clinicians that I will bring up things. Well, this is happening or this. I don't watch the news. Like, you can't believe the news. I don't like it. It's activating. And I'm going, okay. And, you know, maybe as a therapist who is not responsible solely for clinical care and maybe in a group practice and has the benefit of having someone who is kind of a little more in that space and then I feel like that can be a choice. The other piece of it is I think that, you know, there's really this mindset of ignorance is bliss. I'm already so overwhelmed. I have so much to do, family stuff. Like the last thing I want is coming home with a nervous system on fire and I'm going to digest news. And I understand that and I get it. But I also say that if you are someone who is a supervisor or considering being a supervisor or becoming one, you might want to consider if you can do that. Because if you don't have the bandwidth to do that and do not think that you're going to have it in that season of your life, you know, if you're still raising small children or whatever that looks like, then it could be that it may not be your time to be a supervisor, or you may want to only work with certain types of supervisees and keep it small and not do, you know, something bigger in a group practice. I just think this is something that doesn't get lumped into being a supervisor very often. And, you know, sort of like the CPA, everyone knows they are supposed to be on top of tax code and tax law, which changes all the time. And that's the primary job. We too have that primary job. And it doesn't change as frequently, but our primary job is so much bigger than that because of the social cultural influences. Right. And I don't know that my experience has always been, unless you're getting certified in supervision, that these trainings, these initial small trainings, go into that in depth. At least the ones I've had did not go into that enough in depth for you to really understand that it is your role to be aware of what's happening in the world on a big scale.
I don't think that, I know that that's not part of most supervision training for credentialing. And I don't think I'm saying that it's a standard that everyone needs to sort of plant their hand, their flag in around. But I do think it's important to not put your head in the sand. And I get how news can be triggering. I get how people don't want to watch the news. And yet, how can people not know that one out of every three clients was affected by the Change Healthcare what was it called?
Breach. Like scandal. The breach. Yeah.
The breach, the security breach. Like, who doesn't know? Who wouldn't have that awareness?
Exactly. And I know you're saying it may not be that it's a standard, but, you know, is it a best practice?
I think that that's what I really want to put it under, is a best practice. And I would really love to hear comments from our listeners. Like, do you agree? Is this a best practice? I'm not saying you should be watching the news every single night. I am saying you should be curating your news feed in such a way that you're getting some degree of an accurate picture from reliable sources around what's happening in our social system. You know, when things are happening with racial riots and ethnic emergencies, things that are happening in our world, that are happening in Israel and Palestine, things that are happening in other states in the U.S. around racial issues, the whole sort of anti-Semitism movement, like all of these things, you know, I'm not suggesting that anyone should be an expert, but being aware that these are out there, because when you have a supervisor that comes into you and you're dealing with the societal concerns that are occurring on a daily basis and this sort of churn of what's happening in our world, being in the know means having the wherewithal to even say, okay, I know a little bit about that, let me find out more, or I'm not an expert at that, and yet I can get this information, versus like, I really don't have any idea what you're talking about, and like, let's move on. I don't think that that's at all best practice to say, I don't know anything about that.
Because if anything, you know, we want to model to them how to equip your nervous system or how to work with what's going on in the pressure and tension in our society and still be able to hold space for people. That's a skill, and it is, it is an art, and it takes time. It takes practice. And like, we're asking clinicians to do this on top of like raising kids, doing chart notes, you know, for those who do take insurance, navigating that, Medicare audits. I mean, no pay raises,
parents, all of that.
We're getting squeezed as practices from every angle cost-wise, but insurance never, you know, raises rates unless it's by venture capitals. I mean, there's just so much already that's creates so many hardships. And anytime a supervisor can embody a way to move through that, or at least model some of that and prepare them ahead of time, I'm all about prepping ahead. I'm all about telling them what to expect before expecting it as much as possible. Because I find that just like in trauma work, when the thing happens, they're like, it's less off-putting because it's like, we've touched on this, you know? Mm-hmm. So if it's the first client that they find themselves getting dressed up for, they're like, I need to seek supervision about that, because we've already talked about that. So rather than being reactive, being, you know, being like proactive in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that is our role and that it should be a best practice. And again, like you said, you don't have to be an expert, just have some sort of awareness of what's happening.
So here's an interesting story too. I had a supervisee the other day. So oftentimes we have our supervisees in our practice. Well, we, not oftentimes, regularly, we have them write for our newsletter, and our newsletter themes are determined a year in advance. And they're based on input from our whole team around what's, you know, what are some topics that are, you know, pertinent to our community? What are some topics that are interesting or important in our field? What is some, you know, the things that we're predicting for the next year that are things we want to, that we want to talk about? And so then we divide that by 12. And so this new supervisee, she said, I don't know anything about this topic and I have to, and I'm supposed to write about it. And I'm like, that's great. And she said, no, that's terrible. I don't know anything. And I said, well, let me just clarify. So it's unfortunate that you don't know anything because this is not a topic that should be a mystery to you. However, it's fine because I feel confident that you can figure out what this is about. And she said, well, is there any chance that you could have two topics and I can pick from one? I said, no, I'm not changing the topics. The topics are there for a reason, business reason, but they're also there because they're important. And so if you don't know something about them, you should.
And you need to know how to access the resources.
Right, and learn. And then we believe you should know about that. And so get on it. And she was fine about, you know, understood that. So as a supervisor, I'm wondering for you, how do you discern like topics and areas where you feel outside of the regular ones that you feel you want your supervisees to pay attention to? So how do we encourage them to be in the know and to look at these sources with a curated eye?
Yeah. I let our client base drive that. And mm-hmm. a lot of times in like the issues that face our client base, the different types of things, which so for us, it really is a lot of political type things. It's understanding that there are some people who are going to be far, far right that come into our doors who are military. Mm. We're going to have some people who are retired military who may despise the military. But then we're also going to have a lot of people of multiple ethnicities, some who have served in the military, some who have not. And we are very likely, and we do have ethnicities that we have no information about. And you know, kind of navigating what it looks like to be open and to start to do the research and to construct that in constantly weaving that into that case conceptualization and how to ask the questions when you're not sure, but you kind of, because sometimes you get that educated gut feeling and you have this guess of like, I feel like this must, something must be cultural with this, but knowing how to lean in and ask that. So I'm always thinking on the bigger scale for us is looking how to mitigate harm to mm-hmm. our client base and how mm-hmm. to show up for them in a way that can be helpful and maintain that curiosity and continue to see them with inherent dignity and worth at all times. Even if that means that I prepare them and say, there are going to be some and you're going to really struggle with that. And I need you to know that that's normal and okay. And it doesn't mean that you're not a good fit. It means that you're a human having an experience with it that is expected in this process and that we're just going to do some work on it.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of resources, I was going to share, and I invite you to kind of think about your thoughts on this, but, you know, I really believe that every supervisor and supervisee should be in their professional associations, whichever ones they feel are most relevant to their field, whether it's NASW, ACA, OMCA, which is a different kind of organization for counselors, the American Mental Health Counselors Association, right. Or APA, or you know, whatever your AAMFT, whatever your professional association is. I appreciate. I know your position on ACA. I don't necessarily. I don't necessarily concern myself. I am concerned with their leanings. And at the same time, I do appreciate other parts of my membership. So it's fine.
I loved ACA with all due respect. I really did. Like I garnered a lot from them. I just could not get behind the support of a platform that can pay therapists for reviews and pay clients for reviews and has had, you know, healthcare information leaked and you still refer to them because it flies in the face of the ethical code And that was just too much for me. And so I have told my clinicians they are not required to be members of it if they do not want to be. But we do talk about lots of other different memberships, and I am with the APA and ISSTD. So I do think that you should always be in an organization. And it's hard because to be honest, I have to work harder not being in the ACA to stay ahead of these things, because I'm not going to get those alerts. I'm not going to get those things. Right. And I knew that when I made that choice, and yet it still felt more value aligned to do that.
Absolutely. So. And I'm not saying I disagree or with your position. I understand where you're coming from.
But it means I have to work harder. And so that's something to consider too. Like, you don't just get to get mad at the organization and think that, well, I just didn't have the information because I didn't agree with y'all. No, it is still on me to get that. And if I'm choosing to not be a member, I'm choosing more work for myself.
And there are certainly a lot of opportunities to be a member for a lot of different, in a lot of different places. So, of course, I have the clinical supervision directory, and we send out an email once a month on current topics and things that are happening in the field. And there's ACES, which is, you know, for counseling educators and supervisors. And so there are a number of different places you could belong to, you know, a million things. And I'm not suggesting you should. What I am suggesting is that supervisors and supervisees carefully look at the landscape of associations and organizations that provide field specific content, so that, and other socially related content, so that they are in the know on current events, things that are happening in the field, and regulatory changes, policy updates, things that are happening, again, nationwide, that are either led by our associations or maybe should be.
And so, do not rely on the state. Whatever you do, I've heard a lot of people say, well, but we have to follow the state law, and I just follow my ethics. And I'm like, do not rely on your state to update you on these things. I cannot say that enough. Unless you have, maybe your state's different. So I can only really speak for Tennessee. I mean, I've gotten emails from the Department of Health of like, this is urgent. We need to tell you this. And I open it, and it's for like nurse practitioners. And I'm like, no.
Right. And not every state board, a board of health professions or whatever state is guiding your licensure is updating people or even sending out emails. Your state associations might not either, but they may be fantastic. So this isn't a criticism of any of those.
When I meant the state board, I didn't mean like your counseling board. I meant the actual one that gives you your license, like at the actual state level, not like the Tennessee Licensed Professional Counseling Board. I wanted to clarify that. I meant like the one that's over our license. And we talked about that in the last episode. It's because they're inundated with all this minutia that they probably have no time to send out these kinds of things about changes here and there affecting the state of Tennessee. Unless, so they just put out a document and assume that we will find it and read it, because they're taxed. And I get that.
Right. And again, in every state, it's different. There are some states, there is no regulatory board over the counseling board. So it's very different in every single state. And so that is neither here nor there. The ultimate point I'm trying to make is that I think it's critical that you as a supervisor choose somewhere to get some get your information from. And, you know, even CNET, which is a daily sort of what is it, like a Google group or something like that, which it sends out stuff, like any kind of thing that you can be a part of. And then that doesn't eliminate opportunities on social. So, and other organizations like Inclusive Therapists or Therapy Den sends out great information. Yeah. You know, even some of these Therapy Notes sends out great information, and I'm not even a Therapy Notes customer.
Right.
So good for you. Way to go, Therapy Notes. Yeah. Like, way to go, because All Simple Practice does, and I am a Simple Practice customer and love them too, but all they send out is CE information. That's good too, but like, I love that Therapy Notes sends me like specific information about the field. And again, I'm not even a customer. So we welcome them both to consider sponsoring our podcast.
Yes, definitely.
But I think that that's really an interesting and important way to get your information.
Another thing I was going to add to that is, even if you have Apple, Or Apple, you know, if you have Apple Music or a family plan, it comes with like Apple One and you automatically get Apple News. So Apple News, I think, is fantastic because it really draws from, you can choose which outlets you want to follow. And then you just open that news app and it learns it and starts to learn like what you follow and what you read. And it curates a really good list. Another thing, although this would maybe flood your inbox potentially, but if you did have a specific area that you really were trying to get more information on or read up on, you know, you could probably curate, we could ask Jetta about this, but you could probably curate maybe with a certain phrase, a Google alert.
Oh,
and
sure.
Then that would alert you with certain types of news stories. I think if you did, you know, if you didn't get it specific enough, you'd probably get way too many, but you could probably create just the right Google alert and really get some up-to-date news daily on different things happening as well.
Yeah. And when you do your Google alerts, you can make them daily or weekly. So like I have a Google alert set up for clinical supervision and I get that weekly. I also have one set up for teens. So yeah, it can, that's a great idea. I didn't even know about Apple News. So I think that that's really, really super, super helpful. So, you know, all of these things are opportunities for supervisors being in the know and then encouraging your supervisees, we're going to use language multiple different ways, but your supervisees to also stay in the know, but also we're talking about considering how you weigh different topics in your own, from your own lived experience, from how they are impacting your community, the therapy community that you have around you or that's in your practice, but also the people that, you know, you serve in the greater community. So many things to consider. Any other closing thoughts around this topic, Valerie?
Yeah, I would just say, I know I had mentioned this on another podcast, but I'll say a little more about it because the context of which I did this intervention was meant to really create more around the social cultural case conceptualization. And so when I did those little Lego people, I didn't fully explain it, but I had given everyone their own. They put them together. They had a series of questions that were things like, you know, what is this person's pain points? Can you tell us what is this person's family like? You know, just things that were kind of asking about case conceptualization, and they were to study the little Lego person and come up with what they thought was accurate. Then they exchanged the Lego people with other people in group supervision. And on the back side of the page, the person who now has their new little Lego person is answering similar questions to see how differently two people can look at the same thing. And then we have a discussion about how did they get to that place. And then you could even add to it further, which I've done in the past, but I haven't done any time recently. You could even add another element of that to state, okay, now with that case conceptualization, let's assume these are all refugees. Half of these have resources. The other does not have resources. So how does that change what you would do or how you would case conceptualize? So really just trying to get them to slow down on the narrowing in on someone and getting them to stay more curious and keep pulling back and trying to look at the big picture and see, again, we always say, check the triangles. What's yours? And is it yours? Is it theirs? Or is it something between the dynamic? And are you, you know, trying to check that to make sure that the alignment for them is a place of observation and curiosity rather than trying to fix or get it right or things of that
nature. Yeah. I love that activity. And I think that is super fun. And I think that we should challenge ourselves with putting that in writing so that we can share it with our audience. Because I think it's a super fun opportunity. And I definitely think it speaks to being in the know as well. Because when you do the cross case conceptualization part, and then you add in a current event element, that makes a huge difference. You know, it's March 2024. If we add in it's March 2020, element, pandemic, we were all getting ready to lock down and thinking it was going to be 2 weeks. So how does that change the case conceptualization? Yes. I think that's brilliant. I want you to put that in writing for our audience. So I can't, of course, end the podcast without saying that a great news source is podcasts. And there's some incredible podcasts that share a lot of information about our field that are very current and share a lot of current events too. Of course, again, just like anything else, they have to be curated to be, to make sure that you're feeling like you're getting accurate information versus, or listen for opinions and then form your own as you're doing them. So, that being said, we're so glad that you're tuning in to Supervision Simplified. The revolution starts with you. And we're going to say that each time that we end our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your network. We're so eager for your comments, stories, and feedback to ensure we're hitting just the right topics that you care about. So keep simplifying and elevating your supervision game until our next episode. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Supervision Simplified. Remember, the revolution starts here. We hope you'll subscribe and that you'll share it with your friends and colleagues. We also want your comments, stories, and feedback so we can be sure to be talking about what interests you the most. Until next time, keep on simplifying and elevating your supervision game.